new year. Amen. Somebody say this is a year that we have never seen before. Amen. So we just bless the Lord for his goodness and mercy. How many of us still have the right mind?
Hallelujah.
This new year. Amen. For the Lord willing, for the next couple of weeks, our series is going to be on having the right mind. Amen. Our motto for this year is we want to have the right mind. Amen. We went up on New Year's Eve, Tuesday evening. Paul said, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any glory, if there be any virtue, we ought to think on that's the right mind. Amen. Whatever's going to praise and glorify us. So we just bless him. We thank God, amen, for my wife, and amen, and for the ministry, and for all of those that are here. Amen. As Minister Simon said, those that had a mind to press their way out in spite of the weather. Hallelujah. Amen. So we just thank God that we're not fair weather Christians. Amen. And we only come out when the weather is fair. But God is so faithful to us in the fair weather as well as the bad weather. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading tonight. And once again, Lord willing, the next few weeks, we're going to do, our series is going to be dealing with the right mind. Amen. The right mind. So we're going to read Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 12 of Philippians chapter 2. Now we know the right mind is the mind of Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to start with verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 12 of Philippians chapter 2. And then we're going to explore in the Bible how the devil has a way to make us seem as though we are small when God has said that we are great. Amen?
Amen.
First one reads, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if bowels of mercies, and fulfill ye my joy, that ye be what?
Like-minded,
having
the
same love, being of
one accord,
and of
one mind.
We talk about what kind of mind? The right mind. One accord and what?
One mind.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of the right mind does not try to make a reputation. Can I get an
amen?
And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he, Jesus said, no man. Hallelujah. The right mind, he said, no man take my life, but I live down. So he humbled himself, amen, and scripture said, and became
obedient.
So he first humbled himself, and then he was
obedient.
We're talking about what kind of mind? The right mind is humble, and the right mind is
obedient.
And that's the mind of Christ, amen. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore,
God also.
I said, when is the right mind? Then we know that God will do what? When you do things God way, God will. That's God's word. It cannot be changed. Highly exalted him and given him a name which is above. Which is above. The right mind will give you a name which is above. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven,
and things
in going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have the right mind always will, the right mind always will, not as much as in my, not just when people are watching me, the right mind will obey, but now much more in my, the right mind will do what? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Can the church say the word of the Lord?
The word of the Lord
is blessed.
Already.
Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. So the right mind is the mind of Christ. Paul tells the Philippians, he said, if there be therefore any consolation, that means any comfort, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bounds and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be. We want to be what? Now, we're dealing with the right mind. Amen. You know, and we're going to go over this a little later. The mind, as we went over on Tuesday evening, New Year's Eve, the mind. Whatever thoughts dominate the mind is like a magnet. Those thoughts will attract the physical, the spiritual, and anything else. So whatever thoughts dominate your mind, that magnet will attract the likeness. Amen. I do a lot of reading. Amen. A lot of reading. I try to read the Bible more than other stuff, but every once in a while I go off the beaten path. But I was reading a story of a lady. She, in her old age, amen, she had a daughter. And she went insane. And for 20 years, now we're talking about what kind of mind now? Come on, we're talking about what kind of mind?
Right.
For 20 years, she was an invalid and couldn't help herself. And her daughter took care of her for 20 years. True story, not a lie. Not one of them preaching stories. No, somebody say, you just preach when you make it sound good. This is a true story. Her daughter took care of her 20 years, and she was insane and just didn't have a right mind. But her daughter died. After her daughter died, she resumed normal living. You say, well, what's the problem? The problem was where?
In the mind.
In the mind. So she was so dependent, she wanted to feel so important that she acted insane for 20 years until her health was gone. Then she returned to normal living. It astounded everyone because they just could not figure out what would make a person be an invalid, wouldn't get out of the bed, wouldn't do anything for herself, then the person that she depends on die, and then she resumes normal living. Where was the problem at? It obviously was not physical, it was what?
Mental.
Amen. So that's how important the mind is. Now, do you think the devil knows how important the mind is?
Yes.
He knows how important the mind is. Amen. So he constantly battles to keep us enslaved in our mind. And as I said, a little later we're going to go over something that happened to the children of Israel when the children of Israel had the elephant and the mouse syndrome. Amen. Who knows how big an elephant is? How many times? All these times. How much does a mouse weigh? A couple of ounces, right? Now, you would ask, right, as big as that elephant is, why would he allow something as small as a mouse to intimidate him? Think about that. Why would an elephant allow something as small as a mouse to intimidate them? Now, there's a whole lot of theories and reasoning behind it. We're not getting into that. We're just dealing with the largeness and the smallness now. Because of the what? The mind. Now, we know an elephant can they've had elephants that go loose and went down the street just destroy cars and everything in its path. But something as small as a mouse can keep it entrenched in his own fears. Why? Because of the mind. Well, tonight, we're going to deal with the mind. So it says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of
one accord and one mind
is so important, because the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, amen, when the mighty pouring of God's Spirit came out, it did not pour out until they were in one place with one accord. The mind tonight, whatever we want to be is dependent on the mind. The Bible says, a man thinketh in his what?
Heart.
So is he. The mind is important. Amen. You know, one of the biggest things, like I said, I was reading. Every once in a while, I try to give y'all some stuff to read, but I don't think y'all be reading. Because when I be asking y'all some questions, I be asking questions. Because those questions I be asking, I just want to find out if you read what I gave you. And guess what? Most of the time, y'all don't read it. In the beginning, I gave people stuff. They said, wow, where'd you get that from? I said, okay. When I got home, I told my wife, they didn't read it. Because if they read it, then they would know what I'm talking about. Amen? But one of the things, all successful people, as I said, I don't know if it was Tuesday or Sunday, the one thing that they did is they eliminated the word impossible. The church embraces this word too much, impossible. Paul said, I can do. That starts where? In the mind. I can do all things through what?
Christ.
None of ourselves. Of ourselves, we can do nothing. But if we embrace God's word, God's principles, as we went over on Sunday, are immutable and unchangeable. If God makes a statement that things have to take place, they have to take place. We familiarize ourselves with too many negatives. Amen. If we get ready to do something, we try to figure out why it won't work before we try to figure out
it will work.
That starts where? In the mind. When does it start? It starts as a baby. What's one of the very first words you teach your baby? No. Right? That's a poor baby doesn't even have a chance to even start positive. All the baby hear from the time it can hear you is no. Right? Program. Starts where? In the mind. So we were with little Zoe the other day, everybody like to hear us. No. No, Zoe, no. But it's just one of the ways, besides mommy and daddy, the only other word the baby will know by the time it's one is what? We condition. The world conditions us with negatives. Amen. And this is why Paul tells us in the book of Romans, he said, you must be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Our minds have to be renewed, because ever since we were children and growing up, we have familiarized ourselves with too much with the word, with negative words and contractions, which means no. In Christ, we want to have a what kind of mind?
Right mind.
The right mind. Paul said, I can do
all things.
Do you believe all you can do all things?
Yes.
Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you that you can make your own personal assessment. When we said we're going to go and pursue the church, how many of you thought crazy? All right, this is your own personal thing. It's between you and God. Amen. And I don't need to know. Because I knew where I was at. Amen. I was shaking ground in the beginning, not because of God, but because of us. Amen. But once I got on board, I was on board 100%. Because I know God can do any and everything. Now we quote the scripture, he's able to do exceeding abundant above all. Then we ask for what? Well, if he can do exceeding abundant above all, that abundantly above all, listen to the adjective. Whatever you're thinking, he can exceed that. All right. Then if he sees that he's able to do abundantly above what he's exceeded, then after he's done abundantly, he can go even higher than that. Then, you know what that means? There's what? No limitations on God. The only limitation on God is our faith and our mind. Amen. So Paul goes on to tell them, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. In other words, he said, don't be selfish. This means don't be selfish. Amen. Don't try to promote your own agenda. But in lowliness of mind, he said, just be humble. Let each esteem others. We're talking about what kind of mind?
Right.
A selfish mind can't help anybody else because they're always thinking about themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of let this mind be in you, which is also in what?
Right.
Now we're talking about what kind of mind?
Right mind.
The right mind. Amen. Now let us turn to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 6 through 14. Exodus chapter 1, 6 through 14. So we're dealing with the mind. Deacon George wasn't on his game tonight because he always had my bottle of water, but tonight he's being a little cheap. Rats. I didn't get a chance to tell nobody off. God, I want to keep it. Sister Shanty, Deacon George, she's great at it. Amen. He's back on his game. Never mind. I apologize for you being right. Amen. Amen. But once again, we're dealing with what? The mind. Amen. If we're going to ever attain being what God wants, we have to start in the mind. Verse 6. Now, this is the church. This is us. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased. God was what? Blessing them. Amen. And multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was, they were everywhere. Amen. The land was filled with them. Now there rose up a what? New king over Egypt, which did not know of the heroics, did not know of what Joseph had done in delivering Egypt during the land of famine. Amen. So this king rose up. He said, all I do is see people, these Jews everywhere, the Hebrews, Jews, they're everywhere. Verse 9 said, and he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are what? More and mightier than we are. Verse 10 said, come on, let us deal wisely with them. Now, this is the church. We are intimidated when we are more and mightier. Now the question is this. If the enemy could perceive that the children of Israel were more and mightier, how did the more and mightier become the slaves? Hello? They're more. They're mightier. They're blessed. They're multiplying. They fill the whole land. Yet the mighty became the servant. How? What happened that they had all of that, but then they were in bondage? It was in the mind. How do we know that? He said, come on, let us deal. This wisely is the same thing. It's the word, well, it's C-H-A-K-A-M in the Hebrew. It's hakam, but I call it chakam so you can understand it. Hakam means to outwit, to outsmart, to deal subtly, or to deal craftily. In order for them to get the advantage, they had to deceive them and make them see themselves as small when they actually were larger. They were mightier. They were greater. The same tactics is what the devil uses against the church today. Jesus says, the work that I do shall you do, and what?
Greater
works. Well, has his word changed? Absolutely not. So what has changed? The mind. Now, how can you be greater? How can you be mightier? How can you fill the land but be in bondage? Because the devil's tactics have not changed. He says, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them. They said, you know what, we're going to keep them in bondage. And the only way that we can keep them in bondage is that we have to get control of their minds. The devil's tactics has not changed. So, we have the Holy Ghost. The Bible says it's the power of the world to come. If we have the greatness and the power, why are there limitations? Why are there not the deliverances that we should have because of the mind? And it's the devil tactics. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, the devil was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. The subtlety, the tricks, the deception, the manipulation has not changed. In our situations, we have the greatest power in the world, and that's the power of prayer. Prayer can permeate any situation. Prayer can reverse anything. Yet, we find ourselves so many times in bondage, enslaved by the enemy. Why? How? We got the power. Who's greater, God or the devil? God is greater than the devil. God is a healer. God is a deliverer. Why are we bound? Is all where? So we must develop the right mind, and the right mind is the mind of Christ. Amen. The church has to develop the right mind. Now the devil is not persuaded, hallelujah, that we have the right mind. After Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, who's the first one he met?
The devil.
The devil. And then the devil, in his same crafty way, went to Jesus. How many know the devil knows the Bible inside and out?
Yes.
Amen. So the very word, listen to this, the very word that should liberate and give us power, the devil uses that against us to keep us in bondage. How? By working in our minds. The word of God is supposed to set us free. Paul tells Timothy, the word of God cannot be bound. But the devil takes the very word of God and he twists it to make us in bondage to the word that's supposed to have us free. How? By working on our minds. How could as mighty as the children of Israel be enslaved to people that was less than them? Because of what? The mind. Amen? So, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 9 and 11. Now, we know the children of Israel were mightier. They were blessed. They were God's people. But they were in mental enslavement and bondage. And Pharaoh told them, he said, if we don't keep them in this bondage, they're going to liberate themselves. They're going to be free. The devil knows that if the church can never get take God and his word and stop dealing with the fear and the negativism and just believe God, we will be a force to be reckoned with. So we constantly, listen to me, not sometimes, but constantly plays in the playground of our mind to make us see ourselves as running from the mouse, for we're nothing more than a great elephant because of the mentality. You have to ask yourself, how can you have all these Israelites, but they were in bondage? And Pharaoh said, he said, they are what? Mightier than we are. The enemy knows that we have the power. The enemy knows that we are mightier. The enemy knows that if God be for us, who can be against us? So he twists God's word in our minds to put us in bondage so that we don't believe God. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 9. So the devil's desire is to keep the saints of God in bondage. Physically? No. Mentally. Just like the lady that was insane for 20 years, but it wasn't a physical insanity, it was a mental. And as soon as the situation was of such that she had no one to help her, she began to help herself after 20 years. Well, the bondage was not physical, but it was mental. How many of us tonight, hallelujah, when we make an assessment of our own spiritual lives, we are bound by things that should not have us bound because of the mind. Verse 9 reads, "For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you." He wants to know the what? Proof of you. Whether you be... Oh, yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Amen. Y'all got it there? We all together? We can't do nothing until we on one mind and one accord. God can bless us and we divide. Amen. Verse 9 read, "For to this end also did I write, that I may know the proof of you, whether you be
obedient."
What hurts us the most is disobedience to God's word. Amen. And we're going to go over that in a few minutes. If you're obedient in what things? Then you will have the right mind. But even though you go through all the motions, if you have the slightest inclination that you have been disobedient, you cannot trust God. Disobedience will not allow you to trust God. So Paul says, to know the proof, you have to be obedient in what? Now, we can make our own personal assessment in this. We know what areas are we not obedient in. Amen? This is to be on God, in God, have God's favor, be on God's side. He says, to whom you forgive anything, that we know this is dealing with the man who had taken his own father, mother, his stepmother to be his wife, and they had excommunicated them, and Paul is dealing with that situation now, but we're not going to deal with that. We're dealing with the principles now, okay? So don't think I don't know what it means. I know what it means, but we don't want to go there, amen? We want to deal with some of the principles. He said, to whom you forgive anything, I
forgive also.
So number one thing, in order for you to be free and not to be in bondage, you must learn to you got to be obedient in what? All things. Part of obedience is being what? I don't care what anyone has done. Jesus said, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will I. So we are in bondage because of a lack of forgiveness. We must learn to be obedient in. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sake, forgiven I am the what? So when you are forgiven, you do it in the person of. Because we want that mind to be in us, which is also in
Christ Jesus.
It's impossible for you to be free if you don't forgive. The spirit of unforgiveness incarcerates you in that circumstance. I don't care how you try to be free, you're incarcerated by the spirit of unforgiveness. So if you want to be free, you have to learn to forgive. He said, lest Satan should get, for we are not
ignorant.
We are not ignorant of this advice. The devil's desire is to twist the God word, God's word. If he went to Jesus, who was God himself, do you think he respects us? Now, he didn't tell Jesus you aren't the Son of God. He said, if you be the Son of God. He was trying to make Jesus show his power. He said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Amen. Jesus said, it is what? Written. That man must not live by? But by?
Every word.
every word that proceedeth out of thee. We must be obedient in all things. Amen. And then he takes them up to a high temple. He said, well, it is written now. So now he's twisting God's word to get the advantage. Amen. He said, it's written, if you cast yourself down, he will give his angels. Did God's word say that? Yes. But he was misapplying it. Jesus said, it is also written that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So the devil will use God's word to incarcerate the church by misapplying it, twisting it, and taking it out of context. Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden because Eve allowed the devil to take God's word out of context. The principles, his tactics, his schemes, his devices have not changed. So the devil knows that he can't beat us, so he makes us beat ourselves where? In the body. Amen. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. Now we won't get through all of this, but we'll get as far as we can. Amen. Tonight, and Lord willing, like I said, it's going to be a series that we're going to keep saying on, because we want to have the what kind of mind? The right mind. Now the devil knows God's word, and he knows God's word is based on conditions. Can we say conditions? God's word is conditional. God said, if you do this, then you will reap that. God said, but if you don't do this, then these are the consequences. Amen. So obedience brings about a blessing. Disobedience brings about a consequence or a curse. Amen. So the devil knows this. So what he does to the church is he can't curse you. And God won't curse you. But God will curse the condition of disobedience. And he won't change it. Because that's his word. This is God's divine law, which is unalterable and cannot be changed, because he set it forth. So the devil knows this. So what does he do against the church? He gets us to inadvertently disobey God. And in our disobedience, we cannot reap God's full blessings. Verse 1 reads, of 28th chapter. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord. How are you going to hearken? Halfway?
Diligently.
I'm going to do it when I feel like it. You got to hearken how?
Diligently
unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do some of his commandments. If we were to stop right now, what of God's word are we not doing? To reap the full benefits and not to be in a mental bondage or incarceration, we must do? Well, you don't have to see it, but it's up there. You got to do what? All the commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thou will send thee. When you're obedient, God said, you don't have to do anything. Who's going to set you on high? Amen. The Bible said, if God be for you, who then? No man can do anything against you if you're obedient to God's word. Somebody said, well, I'm afraid of the consequences. How are you going to have a consequence when you're doing God's word? God's word always reap blessings. Consequences are a curse. How can we get to the point where we're more fearful of man than we are of God? That is not the right mind. The right mind will always act in obedience to God, regardless of what losses I may incur. I'd rather gain God's favor than anything from man. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in 1,000 tents of the wicked. Amen. If I don't have nothing, if I'm obedient in the house of God, I'm happy. Amen. I want to be obedient. Amen. All right. Somebody say, you better hurry up. Your time is running out. And all these And all these
blessings.
When you are what? Obedient and you do all. All is not 99.9, but all is 100. Now there are some things that we do out of omission or commission that we don't do it deliberately, but we still reap the same consequences. Amen. I got to get through this, so I got to speed up. What I said, going through 1 through 15, so I'm like, what? Help us. All these blessings shall come on thee, and what? When you're obedient, you know what I said? Well, where's it going to come from? It's going to do what? Do you know what happens when something overtakes you? Amen. These blessings are going to come upon you and overtake thee if thou shalt
hearken
unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy. You know, he said everything about you is going to be if you what? Obedient. And if you hearken unto the voice of God. Amen. You don't have to worry about what God is going to do. When you do what God says to do, he said these blessings are first they're going to overtake you. And then when they overtake you, God is going to aid you. Amen. So that you will be above. And we're going to read a little later, not beneath. Amen. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou. Everything about you will be blessed. Somebody said, well, why don't I have a blessing? Are you hearkening diligently unto the voice of God? The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be spent before. They shall come against thee. Because God is fighting your battle, they're going to flee. Amen. Who's fighting for you? God. He said, when God is with you, God is going to allow these blessings to overtake you. Lord, I need that kind of overtaking. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand. You know what God said? Whatever you do, God's going to bless it if you what? Obedient. Amen. A lot of times what the devil will say, if you do that, do you know what's going to happen? Yeah, I'm going to be blessed. But what we do is we let him play in our minds. Say, God, if I make that sacrifice, and my house payment is due next week, and if I'm obedient and not pay my tithes, I don't have enough for my house payment. So God understands. He said, know what? Be what?
Obedient.
Why? Then you're going to be blessed. Everything about you is going to be blessed. But the devil makes us rationalize against the word of God to put us back in bondage. And then mentally we in bondage, and then you don't have peace, then you're aggravated because you know that you're not obedient. So your lack of obedience causes frustrations. It causes a spiritual ugliness. Can we say spiritual ugliness?
Spiritual ugliness.
There's too much of that in the church. It shouldn't be no spiritual ugliness in the church. But the spiritual ugliness is as a result of a guilty conscience. Because we know we're not obedient. So because we're not obedient, we're guilty, we just strike out at everybody. Even people that don't even know what's going on. You look at me in the wrong way. We're going too far. Somebody say, go too far. Get back to work. Well, that's the truth. When you're disobedient, you act ugly. God or no God? Because you know your life is not in harmony with God's word. When you're walking in God's word, hey, the devil can throw every dart at you. You say, that's all right. Because God's going to work it out. Because I'm going to be obedient. If we don't do anything else, let's be obedient to God. And you can be guaranteed that God is going to bless you. But I got to speed up. And then he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy. Lord, I want to be holy. I want to be holy. I want to be holy because the Lord our God is
holy.
Unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. You want to be blessed, you won't be blessed walking out of his ways. Your blessing will come in walking through his ways. And we're going to get down to how old Slewfoot likes to take God's word to put us in the incarcerator. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be
free.
Just do what God tells you to do. They might not act like they're afraid, but guess what? When they see God is with you, the Bible said when they saw that God was with King Asa, they came to him out of everywhere, every tribe, so much to be. Asa said, block it. He tried to build ramparts so nobody could get back to King Asa because they saw that the Lord their God was with them. When God is with you, you don't have to worry about anything else. He'll make your ways to prosper. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous and good in the fruit of thy body and in the fruit of thy cattle and in the fruit of thy ground and the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open unto thee his because of what? Obedience. Somebody said, why don't I have what others have? Are you obedient? Amen. No one can withhold God's blessing. Bible said, this is what God says. How many believe God is true?
Amen.
God said, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk
upright.
If you walk according to God's word, there ain't a devil in here.
Come on.
Another person can withhold that good from you if you're obedient. Amen. So don't try to calculate and don't try to out-manipulate God. Just be obedient. Can I get an amen? And he shall open unto me his good treasure in the heaven to give the rain unto the land in its season and to bless all the works of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations and thou shalt not. God is with thee. You can be guaranteed. You just stand on God's word. Don't worry about anything else. Amen. Don't sneak and try to play the lottery.
Come on.
Right. Just be obedient. Don't go down to the casino. Because of what everybody else is getting, just be obedient. Amen. Somebody said, the Bible doesn't say don't do that. It does say it. Amen. You're not supposed to take chances. Amen. You're not supposed to take chances.
Come on now, praise
him. All right, this brother is on the internet, so I got to leave this alone.
No.
But I'm just saying, y'all, don't play the lottery.
Right.
I know it's 500 something million dollars. And you say, well, you know how much I can bless the church? Yeah, bless the church by being obedient.
Amen.
That's all we need is God's blessings. Amen. Now, if you don't, now some people don't know, so when they win, they say, oh, thank you, Jesus. They don't know no better. But to him that knoweth, all right, I'll leave y'all lotteries alone. I don't know y'all chances, y'all pick sixes and fall sevens and down eights, all of that. I'll leave all that alone. Amen. But that's not God's way.
Amen.
God bless us.
Amen.
The church is obedient.
Come on.
And does what he says. Amen.
Amen.
See, if thou hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from
any of the
words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left. Who did he tell that to earlier? Later. To what? Joshua, right? He told him, don't turn to the left or to the right. Just stay in the word, stay in the law. Amen. Or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou...
Now,
do you know the devil knows this is in the Bible? So he know all these things going to happen to you if you're obedient and you do all. But he know that this scripture here will refute all of that. Amen. He said, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not... Hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments. Do you think the devil knows that?
Yes.
Amen. Do you think he knows it?
Yes.
I heard, I believe it was James said, if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty in The devil knows this. Amen. His character statutes, which I command thee this day, that all... Now, stop right there. Is that an option? No. So the devil knows. He said, you know what? Just like Balaam couldn't curse Israel. So he said, the only way that we can get Israel to get cursed is we have to get them to act in disobedience. So that then their disobedience would bring about
curse.
Well, the devil knows in our spiritual lives, he can't curse us. The only thing that can bring about a curse is what?
Disobedience.
Disobedience. I don't care who you are, Pope, anybody else, if you're disobedient, it brings about a curse. And the devil knows it. So what he does every day, he gets us to try to rationalize. Amen. To try to get us to outwit God and to be disobedient. Because he knows that we will inadvertently incur a curse. So he constantly is working. If I were you, I wouldn't do that. I say, well, guess what? I'm not you. So I won't do it. Amen. When you hear that, even if you have a friend, if I were you, you'll just put on the brakes right there and say, whoa, stop. How about if we do what God says? Amen. If I were you and if I was this, well, I don't want your advice. I just want to know what God says. Because it sounds like you're trying to get me to get myself to get a curse. I don't need a curse. I need a blessing. Amen. Amen. That all these curses shall come upon thee and the same thing that would have overtaken you in obedience will now overtake you in disobedience. So we are now incarcerated. We are in bondage. Amen. The next verse says, curse shall thou be everything. The next few verses, everything that God has blessed for obedience, he now does what? Curses it through disobedience. So in 2014, we want to have the right mind. And what does the right mind do? It breaks the mental enslavement and bondage to the deceit of the enemy. Amen. The right mind will break the mental enslavement and bondage to the deceit of the enemy that has sinned. How many want a blessing?
Amen.
Lord, all I want is a blessing. Hey, I only got 2 pages of scriptures. Wow. I only got 1.5 pages of scriptures. That's all right. So we'll pick it up a little later. But what we're dealing with tonight is obedience. The devil knows, as the elders and the ministers and the praise team come forward, he knows that as long as we're obedient, we are a force to be reckoned with. So what he tries to do is get us to be little disobedient. You know what happens? Little disobedience, it turns into big disobedience. Amen. Because he said if you're guilty in one point of the law, you're guilty in all. But if we just learn to be obedient, amen, and to do what God says, we don't have to worry about any of the curses. Because only blessings will overtake us. Amen. And as Paul told the Philippians, he said, not so much is in my presence, but in my absence. It's not important to do the right thing when we're in church. It's not important to do the right thing when we're around the saints. It's just as important to do the right thing when we're not around the saints. Amen. He said, not as much as in my presence, but much more in my absence. He said, work out your own salvation. How many want a blessing? The only way to be blessed is to be obedient. Don't allow the devil to rationalize in your mind to get you to see all of the hurt, the danger that can come from you being obedient. How many of us really trust God? If you trust God, you say, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. You know, when we live in a day and age where people say so much and do so many things, and a lot of times we react more to what people say than what the Word of God says. Tonight, if you want to take a personal assessment, are you where you are now because your reaction to people are because your faith and trust in God. Some of us, not so much here, but some of those that have been with us, have allowed themselves to get into bad situations because they didn't trust God. And they listened to too many other voices. All the, if I were you, you don't need to hear that. Says, you know what? What does God want me to do? What would God have me to do? You know, one thing about Paul, as wrong as he was, when God showed him he was wrong, he did not continue to go the wrong way. Paul humbled himself. He said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? That should be our prayer tonight. Amen. Not what would the pastor want me to do, not what my husband, my wife, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my best friend, not what would they have me to do, but we need to get real with God. Amen. And we need to ask God, Lord, look at my heart. And what